Started at 12 in Northwest London. Shiva Sobe Tammuz Nedche, 18th of Tammuz, 17th of July. Rabbi Ilan Halberstadt, Shlita, the smashing of the Luchos. This week's Torah Way has been sponsored by Torah Way attendees. Lil Nishmas, one of our regulars, Rav Nosson, Ben Rav Nosson, Zeroy Lebrocha, the late Mr. Norman Greenberg, who will be missed very much.
Okay, Yishkach, Rabbi Isai, good morning. Difficult morning that begins the hardest part of the year. The hardest part of the year is for sure the 3 weeks, the most difficult part. And, of course, it's a day of Atinus, Shiva Asa B'Tamas. And there are five things that are brought down in Chazal as the reason why we fast on Shiva Asa B'Tamas. But the primary reason, really, going back to the Makara, the first reason that's brought is the smashing of the Luchos. Smashing of the Luchos is one, it's the bottle HaTomid, the carbon Tomid, had been going for hundreds of years. And it, in the first place of Migdash, it stopped on the 17th of Tammuz. We're talking about in the second place of Migdash also there, it was a breach of the walls. A posthumous burnt a Sefer Torah, and an idol was put in the Beis HaMikdash. But the primary, original Makar, I always go back to the beginning of it, is, as we mentioned, the smashing of the Luchos. The breaking of the Luchos was something, on the one hand, Moshe Rabbeinu gets a Shkayach, Yashikurcha Sheshibarto. But this is a day of tragedy when the Luchos needed to be broken. Not that Moshe Rabbeinu broke the Luchos was a mistake, Chas v'Shalom, of course that was the right thing to do. But that they were broken brings us into a world which is really a broken world. Ever since Shavuos HaLuchos, remember just before the Luchos, Klal Yisrael, where we would normally say Cloud 9, but it's not really correct. We would probably call it Cloud 7, because there are 7 Olamos. So we'll call it Cloud 7. And Klal Yisrael had got to a state of receiving the Torah and Matan Torah, we were elevated to the highest level. Moshe Rabbeinu was due to come down 40 days later and give us the Luchos. The Luchos were Etzba Elokim. These were Luchos that were Goda Mizeh Umizeh. And the Medrash says on yesterday's parasha, on the Remez, Goda Mizeh Umizeh, referring to Bilam, says that the Luchos went all the way through. And Bilam, you try to mess with the Jewish people. You try to destroy the Jewish people. They have the Luchos. The Luchos are Goder Mizeh Umizeh. The Pasuk says Goder Mizeh Umizeh. And the Luchos were Mizeh Umizeh and Ksuvim. They went all the way through. Right? In other words, it's not like a Sefer Torah. We have writing on the parchment. The Luchos is actually carved out in the stone. The Luchos are heaven. And this is our great victory against Bilam is Merumas in the Luchos. Pasuk says, God there Mizeh Mizeh. It's a Medrash says, it's a reference to the Luchos that go all the way through. You cannot beat Klal Yisrael because they have the Luchos. That's when we have the Luchos. But Nishtabru HaLuchos, now it's a different world. Why? What changes before and after Shavuos HaLuchos? Obviously the Luchos are broken, but what does that represent? What's the difference? When Bilam says he wants to destroy, curse the Jewish people, and the response Chazal bring down is you can't because the Luchos goes through and through. So the Maharal explains that just like the Luchos, it's the writing is in the Luchos themselves, so too we know that every individual is really like the Luchos Habris. Kosveim aluach libecho. The Torah says, write them, aluach libecho, to write the Torah on your heart. The Torah has to be engraved, aluach libecho, like the luchos, not a ksiva on the outside, but a luchos sticker writing, where it actually penetrates the heart. Kosveim aluach libecho is how our Torah is supposed to be, how our connection and emunah with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is supposed to be, something that goes all the way into who we are, and penetrates our very being. In fact, Rav Moshe Shapiro Zatzal would often say, he would comment that if you go to most shuls and they have a picture of whatever, Luchai Sabris, most shuls have Luchai Sabris with rounded tops.
Yeah.
Right? It's like a minig Yisrael. Oh, yeah, even here. Right there. Oh, very good, sorry. Right? That's the minig. Now, the truth is, the Luchais were not with rounded tops. They were actually perfectly cubed, right? So, totally square. And yet, we know that if there's a minig in Klal Yisrael, it's not for nothing. People like to often say, it's a mistake. Yeah. Mistakes don't continue for no reason. Even if it came about, you said it came out as a mistake, it wouldn't be there if not for something. And that he said that the reason is because Klal Yisrael understood, maybe the initial person that initiated this, Klal Yisrael understand, Kosveim aluach libecho. The Pasuk writes, they have to write the Torah, aluach libecho. And your heart should be like the Luchos. Like the Luchos were engraved, Torah should be on your heart. And therefore we make like the childlike heart image on the top to be a remez that the Luchos have to be al libeinu. And that's the minhag Klal Yisrael, Ramesh used to say, why they have rounded tops. That it should be a picture of a type of heart, that the luchos have to be in your heart. And the understanding of this is that Torah has the amazing ability to transform an individual on the most physical level as well. In other words, it's not simply that we have a body which is animalistic, but you know what, we can be ruchnidika people. No, it's that the animal part of us, the human being, the physical human being, can be transformed. And that is shown to us by the luchos. Because in the luchos, what happens? The very stone themselves become the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because it's right through in the stone. It's not just on the stone, it's in the stone. The stone itself is the words. And the ksiva of the luchais is that the substrate, the physical chaymer itself, is able to express the Dvar Hashem. And that is the ultimate level. When the human being not only expresses his neshama, but even his guf is going to express HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's actually the greatest Kiddush Hashem, and the truth is that's why we're here in this world. Because Malachim are spiritual beings who recognize Hashem, but Anshei Kodesh Tiyuni, as the Kotzke Rebbe used to say, to be Anoshim, people, physical human beings that walk and talk in this world, but able to be elevated, that's only Anshei Kodesh. That's our Tachlis. And before the Luchos were smashed, it would have been a different world. Man would not have died. There would have been no Misa. Because Misa is in a world where the body is not able to achieve the elevated heights that that person could be. And therefore has to go through this thing called death. And the reason is because it's what's called a Yerida L'Tzarech Aliyah. When Adam was in Gan Eden, Kadosh Baruch Hu, after Adam eats from the Eitz Hadas, Hashem says he's got to be divorced, is the lashon of the pasuk. My gosh, why is he in Gan Eden? Why? Because maybe he's going to eat from the Eitz Chaim. If he eats from the Eitz Chaim, he's going to live forever. No, sounds good to me. Living forever sounds wonderful. Let him live forever. That's not a chesed. Because if Adam lives forever at this lower state, then it's actually not a good thing. Rather, he's going to have to go through this process, being kicked out of Gan Eden, have to suffer the difficulties, the trials and tribulations, and yes, Misa itself. But Misa ultimately is a good thing, because it means that the body in the present form is not able to be that which expresses the true heights of the Gadlus HaAdam and the Gilui Kved Shemayim. But this body will then decompose, and you'll be given a new body, B'tchias HaMeisim, and that new body will be able to show and shine the neshama, and you'll be able to live forever on a much higher level. So living forever on a lower level, that's not a chesed, but being able to, unfortunately, have a yerida, but it's like tzarech aliyah, that you'll then be given a higher body and you'll live forever on the higher level, that's the ultimate tachlis. Misa, which left the world when it came to Matan Torah, we would have been elevated to the level where the luchais themselves, which means the body, the luchais are like the body, Just like the Dvar Hashem can be the body itself, the Mluchas themselves can express HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so the body itself would also be able to shine so brightly that you could be able to see the Dvar Hashem. That's what it would have been without Shaviras HaLuchas. An example of this, Moshe Rabbeinu, it says, Kikaron Alponov. Yeah? It says in Parshas Kisisa that his face shone. So the common understanding is, just like we know, Chochmas Odom Tori Ponov, a person, the wiser he is, the more holy he is, you can see the wisdom on his face. I never forget, before I moved from Etzol to England, I specifically took my kids, I wanted them to see Rabbi Yashuv. Didn't even need to get a bracha. I mean, if we'd have got a bracha, it would have been very nice, but it was not so easy to get. He used to give every day his shir, I think it was 6 p.m. or whatever it was, he used to give his shir in Bachurim, his shul there, and I specifically took my kids there, and I just wanted them to see Rabbi Yashuv, to see the face of Rabbi Yashuv. I remember standing outside, lifting them up, like looking through the window, I said, just you should see the Rabbi Yashuv. And if anybody saw Rabbi Yashuv, he had poshet, a face that shone like you've never seen. Poshet shone. It was Chochmas Odom Toyer Panov. You saw the Shinnah. You could see it. Now with Moshe Rabbeinu, it was much more than that. Most people think it shone because he had an unbelievable neshama. But the Pasuk says, and if Moshe Rabbeinu would be Medayik, it says, Ki Karan Ar Panov. It doesn't say that he had to put a masva on because his neshama was Bokea. It's because Ki Karan Ar Panov. The Chiddush was that Moshe Rabbeinu's physical body shone like the neshama shines. Never mind the neshama. That's Poshet Moshe Rabbeinu's neshama shone like nothing else. But we're talking about the body itself was so kadosh that it shone with this amazing light. Kikaron Oroponov, even the skin of his face lit up. And that was a world before Shviras HaLuchos. And then with Shviras HaLuchos and the Luchos are broken, now once again it brings Misa to the world. The body cannot reveal, the physical world cannot reveal to its true capabilities the Gilu Kivat Shemayim that is within this world. And therefore it has to go through the process of really everything that we've been through, Golus, and the difficulties, and the Hest upon him is all a result of that initial breaking of the Luchas. Of course the Luchas needed to be broken because of the Chet HaEgel. It was the Chet HaEgel that really caused everything. And therefore, really, to go back to the root of Shiras HaLuchos, you have to fix the Chet HaEgel. That, to realize, once you start moving away from trusting HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and for whatever reasons you made the Chet HaEgel, which is not our subject now, but whatever reasons you have, you're moving away from giving yourself completely to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Once you move into that world, then it's now a different world, a world where there's now Shiras HaLuchos, and therefore the physical world no longer reveals Hashem in the same way. So this is the makar of everything, the beginning of everything, of all the hest upon him, and all ultimately the golus, and these thousands of years of suffering, and the difficulties of everybody's tzaras. It's all ultimately from the Chet HaEgel. We were on that level of Matan Torah, and now there's Chet HaEgel, and then there's Shaviras HaLuchos. The Luchos meant we could go through and through. When we had the Luchos that went through and through, we could beat Bilam. We could beat all the Klolos. Why are we able to beat the Klolos? Because a Klola is, when Bilam comes to the world, he wants to disconnect us from Shamayim. There's the world called Shamayim, and Bilam knows about Shamayim. He knows. But the way he acts in this world is a far cry from that. Bilam is even having relations with his donkey, his choymers, the chomrius. The way, what he knows up there, and what how he acts down here in this world, is two totally different worlds. And that actually is klolah. The opposite of Bilam is, the Mishnah says, Heve mi tamidov shel Avram Avinu. But not Talmud of Bilam. Why is Avram Avinu the opposite of Bilam? Because Bilam stands for Klola. Avram stands for Bracha. The first Tzivui to Avram Avinu is Lech Lecha Me'atzecha and do what? Ve'heyei Bracha. You should be a Bracha. How are you supposed to be a Bracha? By bringing HaKadosh Baruch into this world. By revealing Hashem. You bring Shemayim down to this world. Ki Me'ah Shemayim Ala Oretz. You bring the Rebbeinu Shalom here. That's called Bracha. That's the tafkid of a person in this world. Bilam wants to completely disconnect the two worlds. He wants to give a curse and say, don't connect to Shemaim. Shemaim is the source of all bracha. Heaven mitamid of Shem Avraham Avinu, and not from Bilam. If the person, what did Chazal mean when it says that the Jewish people that were makabel the luchais, that were mizeh umizeh in ksuvim, you can't beat the Jewish people, they're makabel the luchais, Bilam, you can't beat them, is saying if the Torah goes through and through and is permeating the being, the physical human being, bringing Shemayim into who you are, it's coming into your chaymer, then Bilam, you won't be able to disconnect them. Because they're mechubet to Shemayim. They're connected. They're tamidov shel Avraham Avinu. And this Shiva Asa B'Tamuz is the day where the physical world received its hest upon him. It's the breaking of the luchais, which means that the physical now no longer reveals the world the way it's supposed to. And therefore, many years later, we encounter Chum Beis HaMikdash Rishon, the beginning of which is Shiva Asa B'Tamuz. We're always makbid in Torah to mark the beginning of something and the end of something. We have phrases for both. Hakol Hoylech Achar Rosh. Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of the year. It's a big deal. At the same time, Ne'ilah is the finale, right? Like, this is the moment where it's going to be finalized. The 3 weeks are very much like that. We have the beginning, where we notice what's the beginning of the source of everything. The beginning of 3 weeks is Shiva Asa B'Tamuz. The end is, of course, Tisha B'Av. And both are days that are teaching us lessons. Actually, they're two halves, because what began in Shiva Asa B'Tamuz, the beginning of the Churban, takes place and it only plays itself out in Tisha B'Av. Be'etzem, really, Shiva Asa B'Tamuz is the moment of Churban. The rest of it is playing out. Just to say a practical one or two things about Shiva Asa B'Tamuz in terms of Musa. This idea that Mishtabra Aluchos, Nisrefa Torah, that a Sefer Torah was burnt, that means that it's possible for a non-Jew to burn a Sefer Torah, our most precious Kodesh Tikkah thing. It's possible that they could have a Shlita on us. It's possible for a Beis HaMikdash, which is a place of Hashem's presence, it's possible for them to overcome, to put a Tselem Beheichal, if you think about it. What could be more disgusting than the very place, the Mokum HaKodesh? There's a Tselem, an idol right there. Normally our connection, and it's easier for us to connect to tragedies of this time of year by speaking about, yes, we know millions were killed during the Churban, and ever since, during the Golus, the numbers of lives that have been, the blood that has been, you know, shechted, it's not even fathomable. We can't. And that is normally how we connect to these times of year, this time of year, and that's important to do that. Because the more we connect with the Kedoshei Elyon, those that have been killed on Kiddush Hashem, the more we can actually be zoicha to those chusin. In fact, I remember Rav Moshe saying one time he went on a trip with Rav Moshe Shapiro, and we went to Krakow, and he, interestingly enough, he wasn't so happy about going to certain places. He was so perturbed by one of the places in Auschwitz that they even had a place where they just sold drinks at the entrance. He was so bothered by that, he didn't get off the bus even to go inside. It bothered him so much that there could be like a kiosk or whatever it is selling drinks. He couldn't even get off the bus because that bothered him so much. He couldn't, like, you know, how could they make a tourist site out of, he didn't get off. It was unbelievable. But we used to go there, and I remember him saying, the night before, actually, we went to visit Auschwitz, he said a number of amazing lines that will always stick with me. One of the lines he said was, that you should know that any zechus that we have in our generation, any merit we have, is all from those Kedosh Elyon. Anything. That's the only zechus we have. That the Priya Dekadari, that the previous generation, were these Kedoshim, the 6 million. That's our only zechus we have. And the more we have a shaykhus to that, the more that we can actually say we are the B'nai Bonim of those people, either literally or when we see ourselves and we think about them and we don't forget. When Casey, Domam Loni Casey, the more we think about that blood that was shed, and then we have shaykhus to that, and we say Klal Yisrael Chai V'Kayam, and we are a hemshuch of those, and we want to be able to ask the Rebbeinu Shel Olam in the zchus of those great people that he should be maybe Goyle of Nevin Ahem. That's for sure one level that we have to do. But there's a second level and probably even a higher level which we're just not as sensitive to because it's not as easy for us. It's easy for us in some way to at least associate with that, the horrors of the recent history of Klal Yisrael or Befrat, even going all the way further back, obviously throughout the Golos. But really, Be'etzem, what does Shiva Asa B'Tamas teach us? Bottle HaTomid. They stopped the Korban Tomid. How many of us would think that's such a bad thing? Bottle HaTomid, they stopped the Korban Tomid. Right? What's the big deal? Yeah, it's a very big deal. The Korban Tomid was brought day in, day out, every morning, every evening, for hundreds of years. It's represented the Avodah of Klal Yisrael. It was the most chaviv thing. And the day that no longer happened, that consistency, it began at Har Sinai. There was never a break. Hundreds of years. There was never a day's break. They offered the Korban Tomid every single day. It represented our kesher back to Matan Torah. It was the continuation of Har Sinai. And now we lose that. It wasn't just, oh, there's no Korban. It's the kesher to Matan Torah. It's our connection to that Har Sinai experience that we've lost. And Be'etzin, that's really the aside of the 3 weeks. It's not so much even the pain of Klal Yisrael, which is definitely something which is critical to focus on. But it's even more than that. It's the pain of the Jewish people being separated from Avinu Sheva Shamayim. That's the Ikki Yisoid. The Ikki Yisoid is that Klal Yisrael want to just come home. Klal Yisrael need a kesher. Matan Torah was the greatest day in all of Jewish history. And Shavuos HaLuchos, the very Etzba Lekim, the words of Hashem were etched out, miraculous Luchos, that would have represented a world where everything is clear, there would be no death in the world, there would be no pain, it would have been absolute clarity with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And our connection to Hashem was smashed to 1,000 pieces with that Shavuos HaLuchos. And that Be'etzem is the Yosoid of all of the 3 weeks. Even more and above and beyond all the bloodshed, is the disconnection between Klal Yisrael and Avinu Sheva Shamayim. Ultimately, that's the tachlis of this whole world, that the Jewish people should be mechubar, should be connected to Avinu Sheva Shamayim. And when that is smashed, that's the makor of all avelus. And that ultimately is why we're in avelus. It's avelus about Avinu Sheva Shamayim, and our loss of the Beis Hamikdash is not so much the building, but rather it's the loss of our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is really what the 3 weeks is all about. So even though it's a little bit lofty for us, and it's easy for us to relate to sort of immediate pain, but on a higher level, we have to also think about what it means to be disconnected to Hashem. This is not an ideal world. It's a broken world, but the broken world comes from the broken luchos. And the way to fix a broken world is to fix the kesher with us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the ultimate source, the shayresh of everything. So during these 3 weeks, on a practical level, we're allowed to focus a little bit more on V'Yerushalayim Irucha, Barach Amim Toshuv. Just on the simple meaning of the words. V'Yerushalayim Irucha. We say Irucha, your Yerushalayim. Oh, we got Yerushalayim today. That's not Yerushalayim Irucha, your Yerushalayim. Your Yerushalayim, that's where the Shekhinah there is felt and can be seen. 3 times a year, millions of people, Klal Yisrael, would go Eile Regel and see the Shekhinah. And we don't have that. V'Yerushalayim Ircha, Barachamim Toshuv. We want it to be Barachamim. There's different ways that Mashiach can come. We want it to be Barachamim Toshuv. We've been saying these words for thousands of years. And it's going to happen. Maybe during this time, the one little avoda that we can take on is during these 3 weeks to say the bracha of Yerushalayim with a bit more kavana. That Klal Yisrael want to come back. It's the Shoresh HaDvarim. It's the root of everything. If we can focus on that, then maybe Be'ez Hashem we can put one brick in the wall from us, from our door, from our generation. We can say that we've done what we can try and do. We know any generation where the Beis Hamikdash has not been rebuilt, it's Ke'ilu is Nechrav, because every generation has the ability to do what they can, and Mashiach can come. Be'ez Hashem we should be Zoicha, that we should understand these messages and not actually have a Tisha B'Av this year. And be Zoicha to Yerushalayim Mircha, Barachim Toshav.
Thank you.